Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof and scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active families. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two down, one to go. It is the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, where we hope you take us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city, and hopefully we entertain you along the way of your busy business day. El Jefe, shout out to him.
Boy.
As he has just about every Fresno Tacos hat that they have constructed and made over the years.
I wonder if he has a pink one.
I'm not touching that. That's all you.
All right.
And if you bring waffles Fair into enough. The equation and it's not breakfast discussions. He doesn't discussions,
have a blue waffle hat, you don't think? Don't. No.
It okay. is El Jefe.
Yeah, I bet he does have a blue waffle hat.
Yeah, see? Okay, so if you missed any parts of the show to this point, you can always go back, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab at the top of the page. You can catch up on the hours that you missed. We covered some NFL, some fantasy football, some Astros, and lots of other stuff along the way. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest right now, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter as we roll through the final 60 or so minutes. Astros back at it. Boy, I'll tell you what, this travel schedule. So they played three games in less than 24 hours, and we know how that went.
Mm-hmm.
And then they jumped on a plane and headed to the Bay Area, where tonight they will open up a four-game series against the Oakland Athletics, the team closest to them in the division. And we'll see if Mr. Sanchez can continue to stay dirty. Filthy in the way he's been pitching.
Okay, I see what you did.
You're welcome.
I like that. Yeah, I like that he's going up against Mike Fiers.
Who, by the way, has been really, really good.
He has.
This whole year.
He has. 11-3, 330 ERA, 111 whip. He's been pretty nasty. And for a guy that just, I mean, I could throw as hard as Mike Fiers, I feel like.
He was your favorite when he was here.
He was not my favorite by any stretch of the imagination. But he's getting the job done. I mean, you can't knock him for that. I don't know when he's lost last. I mean, they've lost some games that he started. I want to say the last time he lost a game was back in May. And I could be wrong on that.
No, he's won 9 in a row, okay. I believe.
That's a long time to go without losing.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Because obviously he's had a lot of success, and the Astros traded for him, then traded him. Or they let him get away. They just didn't re-sign him, and they let him go. But when you look at this, is this a product of Brent Strom again and him capitalizing going forward? Or is this something that he just had and or rekindled or found on his own? Because when you look at some of the numbers, and you mentioned some of them across the league, but when you look, Fiers is in the discussion in some of the top numbers in pitching, along with Charlie Morton, Justin Verlander, Wade Miley, and Garrett Cole. And the one thing that is a common denominator is they've all worked with Brent Strom.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because I don't know that you can give Brent Strom credit if you look at, you know, what Fiers did before he got here. In fact, his last year in Milwaukee, remember what made him so valuable was he had like a sub three. I mean, he was in low twos ERA.
Yeah.
So he got here and he had that first year when the trade occurred in 2015. He pitched well. But then he didn't really pitch all that well in 2016 and 2017. He was serviceable, but he was more of a 4-5 guy.
He had some ups and he had several downs. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
The year he left in 2017, he had a 5.22 ERA for the year. So he was serviceable here, but it's almost like he found it again once he got out from under the Astros organization. And the theory, my theory anyways, might be because the Astros like guys that throw hard. They like forcing fastball guys. They like guys that can hit in the mid to upper 90s, and that's not Mike Fiers' game. So I don't think he flourished in the kind of system that the Astros have, where guys that can that can, you know, they can throw hard and change speeds and feature that four seam. It's advantageous for guys like that, and not necessarily a guy like Mike Fiers. So maybe that's why he wasn't a fit. Because that was the thing that people were wondering about, some of these arms that the Astros were like Wade Miley. Wade Miley's not a guy that goes out and tops out at 97, 98.
No, not at all.
But he's having some success. So maybe my theory is wrong, but that might be what happened with Mike Fiers.
Interesting, because the lead over the A's is 9.5 in the division, and everybody, for all intents and purposes, thinks that that is over. With the Astros scuffling to some degree, the A's looking forward to the series, hoping to capitalize if they could sweep somehow.
Well, yeah.
It would be a 5.5 game lead. I still don't think the Astros have much to worry about, but I think more so than worrying about the A's, they need to make a statement for their own mental health to just say, hey, look, it's time for us to get off the schneid. And, you know, we've lost a couple of games in kind of ugly ways recently. So if they'd have won the game yesterday, it would have made it easier. But let's not kid ourselves. They were playing from behind all day yesterday.
Yeah, it was an ugly game.
Yeah.
It was an ugly series.
And in the Devinsky start where Cole got scratched, they really didn't have – I mean, they were never in it. They were playing from behind again. Yeah, the entire game. So I just think for their own mental health as well as just going forward, they need to get off the schneid, and it would be good to do so starting this evening.
I mean, think about this. That game that they lost where Devinsky was the opener, not necessarily the starter, but the opener. If Gerrit Cole pitches that game, you can't guarantee that they win that, but that's a different ballgame.
You feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
You feel pretty good that you win 2 out of 3 and win that series and it's on to the next. But the fact that they lost a series to the White Sox, people tend to look at it. And the way they lost the third game of the series that they lost looks even worse and kind of exacerbates the situation. If they go out here and split with the A's, that's ideal. I mean, that's great because it is on the road and it is against a good baseball team in the Oakland A's.
Yeah.
So you've already been on the road in Chicago and Baltimore. Now you're winding down a 4-game series on the road again. But that's all you really want. Just go split with them. And then basically you got 4 games left. You're going to have to collapse, and they're going to have to make a run if you just go out and get this split. So that's all I really care about. They could drop the first two and win the last two. I'm not going to care.
Two games closer to just wrapping things
that's
up,
it.
No blood. You're happy with that,
right?
So yeah, as much as you want a 4-game sweep, you'll take a split.
To split,
you just don't want to lose the series or get swept. But with
that
all
would
that
be
being
the worst
said,
thing.
For a lot of reasons, too, tonight would be a big game because if Sanchez pitches well for the third straight game, now you're really on to something. Now it's less of a fluke or a new environmental situation and more of a, hey, this could be something that we could see them getting some mileage out of between now and the end of the regular season, regardless of what they do with their rotation in the playoffs. The offense has been putting up runs. But again, you can't give them too much credit on the trip because they scored 23 in one game.
Well, the game after that, they scored 7 when they lost. They put up 6
when they won.
The 4-1 game.
They lost,
yeah, but 13
right?
to 9. Yeah, scoring runs isn't a concern. You're not going to go out and put up double digits every single game. But scoring runs isn't a concern. I don't think at this point starting pitching is the concern. The one thing I think you can say, when we've been messing with each other a lot, but getting some consistency out of the bullpen right now
that's
is the
biggest
thing
you
want to focus
on. Writing that shit.
Yeah.
Because you know that there's talent in that pen. And for whatever reason, if one guy is scuffling, you normally had other guys that will pick you up. You don't have to worry about it. But now there's more than one.
You know, they say hitting is contagious. Sometimes I feel like in the bullpen, the same is true and even opposite. If a guy starts scuffling and other guys start scuffling, it becomes this thing where the bullpen's trying to get right. And there's tension with everybody because now they're like, well, I need to go out and save the rest of my guys. I need to go out and pick them up. Everybody pitches a little tighter. I think if they can get a few guys to kind of figure this out, and then the whole bullpen will kind of follow suit.
I think the other thing that's crazy is because there's so many remedies for hitting, whether it be soft toss or hitting off the tee or extra batting practice, maybe you're looking for a hitch or you're feeling something that's different in the way you're stepping in the bucket. But with pitching, it's a little bit more technical. You got to go watch video. Are you tipping your pitches? Is it something with a release point? Is your arm just not 100% healthy? But you're right. Normally, like I said, it's only one guy here or there. But when you get several guys in the bullpen and then it kind of snowballs, that's when people start throwing up red flags and really being concerned. So hopefully they can right the ship in a lot of ways tonight and get right at a place where they've really played well over the years recently in Oakland.
I expect big games from Altuve and Brantley against Mike Fires. Gee. I expect a big game. They hit him pretty well.
I was going to say, but you're not going on a big limb when you got...
No, but they need to be the catalyst. When you look at some of the guys, their batting average, like Bregman's hitting 250 against Mike Fires. He's had 12 at-bats and 3 hits. Josh Reddick has 23 at-bats and 3 hits. 2 of them are home runs.
And he goes back home where he once played, to Oakland, where he always likes to play well.
As a team, they're hitting 230. George Springer's hitting 125. Reddick's hitting 130. The only guys that are hitting above 300, and if you take away Carlos Correa's 2 at-bats against Mike Fires, mm-hmm. Altuve and Brantley. So that's going to have to be your catalyst.
You also got, it doesn't hurt your prediction there, when Brantley is the second best hitter in the American League.
Most consistent.
Altuve is on fire with multiple hit games recently.
Yeah.
The only guy you want to throw in there maybe is Yuli, simply because Yuli's really still hitting it at a very high clip, too.
You're right. He only has 9 at-bats, but he's 3-for-9 against Fires.
So he's 300.
And Yordan hasn't faced Mike Fires yet, so that'll be interesting.
Now, is that advantage Yordan, or
yes.
is that advantage Fires?
I think it's advantage Yordan when you look at how, I mean, Mike Fires has good stuff, but he's not going to blow you away. I feel like this is a guy that Yordan Alvarez should feast against.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
Yeah.
So a lot to look forward to tonight. As we get done with the party, I'll have something to watch when I get home.
Oh, did you set it to record?
No, it's a late game.
Oh, that's right. And I'm leaving it at 8. So.
See, and I said I'll stick till 9:30, which means I still won't miss much by the time I get
home.
That's true. Nick, you're going to be here all night. Yeah. All right, so we're rolling through hour number 2. Still got lots more to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a listener appreciation party Thursday in the big city. Looking forward to it as we get closer to the kickoff of the festivities.
I went around and you said, have I seen what's going on out there? I walked around. It's going to be fun.
Lots of stuff going on.
I'll just be the one to say it. It's always awkward at first. It's just going to be... I liked that we had a Papa Shot for the show because you could...
Did you?
Yeah. Until that girl got very aggressive.
That elbowed you in the face or something.
Yeah.
Or punched you or whatever.
But until
just a
that.
Clean blockout, Nick.
Yeah. Why are you boxing out and
just
pop
a clean
shot?
Blockout.
It's not necessary.
There's no room for a rebound.
Yeah. You don't need to start throwing elbows and being fundamentally
sound. Put a body on somebody when the ball goes up.
Yeah. Settle down, Charles Barkley. It's pop a shot. But I did like that because it was kind of a cool icebreaker. Like if a listener came up and wanted to chit chat, you could be like, yeah, let's talk. And now. It's just these awkward circles of standing around, and I'm not saying I'm bad in social situations, but sometimes I can make it awkward.
Well, I think
I try to be smooth, but also I'm just like, I don't know, it gets weird. But it's still, there's so much food and drink and things to look at and do, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think they get to walk around everywhere but the sales office, so you can see the studio, you can see the production rooms, you can see all that stuff.
Well, they did put up signs all over.
I did see that.
That were like,
don't go in here, don't go in
this area off limits.
I saw that on the...
Except for ESPN personnel. I thought that was just for Kelly Eco, but instead they made it for the listener appreciation party.
You're a jerk.
So,
I actually
accused Eric Sandler of being the guy that put the sign.
What did he say?
And he's like, no, it wasn't me. I was like, well, kind of fit. I don't know.
Somebody had a text. They said, if a listener gets wasted tonight at a party, will one of you guys give them a ride home? Joel will.
No, Joel will not.
I will not.
He has the biggest car of all three of us, so he would be the one to...
Of course.
You know, right there next to the...
Yep.
You know, there's a liability involved, but I would be willing to assist some way to get them home.
I will point out where Joel's car is so you can wait by it.
And I will then pee on yours. And that'll be fine.
Speaking of text messages...
Oh, okay.
Somebody had one that says, did y'all hear Fred and AJ making fun of y'all yesterday about the t-shirts? They were saying y'all said the listeners wanted the shirts, but really y'all cried about not having any shirts. You should roast them. First of all, let me address a couple things. One, I didn't hear it. Okay, I didn't hear it.
I didn't either, honestly.
I'm 90% sure that it was not Fred and AJ, that it was AJ. Let's be real clear about that first. Second of all, do you really think at this point AJ is going to be anything other than what AJ is? He's a ball buster. I'm not worried about what he said. The fact of the matter is, our listeners wanted shirts. We wanted shirts. We got shirts. Everybody's happy. I mean, I don't understand what the big deal is or why it would bother him. But I really don't think that he's that upset. I think he's just, you know, he's busting balls. It's what he does. It's
definitely not upset.
No. I mean, now our shirts look better than theirs.
I would agree with that.
But that's just, you know, that's just what happens.
Joel made the face when you said that. That wasn't a knock on you.
No, I'm going to show you what the art of being a professional is during this moment in time as
now?
You guys are talking. Because I just
So you heard it?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Oh, yeah. And it was Fred, too. He jumped in on it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then they both made it like they've called us egomaniacs.
Oh, well, of course, because our egos are, we're the only people at this station that have egos.
Yeah, Fred Fowler doesn't have an ego at all. No.
AJ Hoffman does not have an ego.
Yeah. So we were called egomaniacs. Then we begged for the shirts.
I think we asked. I would say begging
would
be an
exaggeration. We had inquired when our turn was going to come for the shirt because every other show had one.
And when we would be at a remote, say, I don't know, at Luke's in Beaumont, and listeners would come up and say, oh, that's cool, but we came here to see you guys. We like John and Lance, and that's cool that they have a shirt. When are you guys getting a shirt? So,
or better yet, Nick's place for the holiday party in which Tracy and Christina and a bunch of people led the charge to Todd, not to us, to say that they were demanding a shirt. That's where the demanding came from, not the egomaniac comment. So the fact of the matter is that the truth lies somewhere within the suspects, and the rest of it can lie in the
I like that they're all like snitching ass suspects. Give them the boot, man.
Snitches are not going away.
Every show has snitches. In fact, this conversation, I fully expect it will be addressed again because they always get the last word on the day, which is
because of the show after us.
Yeah, so of course they're going to get the last word. This is going to come up
again.
I can't stress enough that none of that really bothers me. It
snitches
doesn't.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
I will say, the snitches thing.
I've known AJ for a decade now almost. That's AJ. You're not going to change that.
And I'm sorry for you. But here's the thing.
But it also doesn't bother me, nor should you let it.
Well, you're wrong. But here's the thing.
Okay.
The thing is, too, when you talk about it, the suspects were actually calling in to the bench because they thought that, because they were railing on people that had a Samsung watch.
Okay.
And someone, one of the suspects said, Barry's got a Samsung watch. I'm telling him you said that, everything like that. And they're like, damn, I guess you made it when your people are actually got your back enough.
Nice.
So that was cool.
Love the suspects, man.
Yeah. So we appreciate them looking out for us because we know the show after us won't.
It's weird because, you know, these shirts are so ego driven, but a lot of people are asking how they get the shirts and can they get one even if they didn't win our tickets. But this is all just, I appreciate all these fake texts that aren't real because all these shirts just stemmed from our ego. But as we said earlier in the week, the I'm excited to have the shirts. Mm-hmm. And if you won tickets from the show, you get a shirt, plus your plus one gets a shirt. And then I think they're going to have every time we do a remote, whether it's with other shows or not, they'll have shirts available at the remote. So you just show up, you can get a shirt.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So
very excited.
So that's that. So with all that being said, and by the way, we didn't cover this a lot, but one of the dumbest things, and obviously you know I'm a Big Ten guy, but I'm a Wisconsin guy, but one of the things that just in passing, if you are as hated a fan base as the Ohio State University
yes.
that it's already annoying as hell when you're watching a football game where they let the players do their own intro for their position and their name and their college, and you got to emphasize the but really, do you have to take it to the level as a university to try and get a patent on the word the? or the Ohio State University. Get the hell out of here.
It's petty, and I hope that it's one of those publicity stunt things and that they're not really serious. Did you see what Michigan did?
I did. I thought it was all world.
I love that Michigan. So you got Ohio State out here thinking that they can get a trademark on the name.
On the word the.
On the word the. Mm-hmm. And then Michigan goes out and posts on their Instagram and Twitter of, and they put the M behind it, and then they put a little trademark.
U of M.
Yeah. And no, they trademarked of.
Yeah, so they're going to trademark of.
That's just outstanding.
That was great.
I love it. It's also super silly of Ohio State. Sorry, the Ohio State University. However, I tend to fall on the side that this is probably more of a, hey, let's have some fun with it.
And get a lot of attention. Bobby Carpenter, the ex-NFL linebacker who's from Ohio, who went to Ohio State, was on Get Up this morning.
Uh-huh.
He said it was a joke and dumb.
Of course.
He killed it. No, normally, most Buckeyes would say, great idea.
I thought you meant a joke as in they're just messing around.
He's like,
they're not
are
really
you serious?
Serious?
He goes, that's ridiculous. And so I give him credit for doing that because most Buckeyes, Lenny, I'm talking to you, would think it's the greatest idea on the planet. So
That's pretty interesting. I like, though, that Michigan came back and did a little bit. Because they don't, like, there's like Ohio.
There's Ohio University. There's Bowling Green, I believe.
I never understood why they emphasized the Ohio State University.
Because of the player that said it. He said it incorrectly one time. I forgot which player said. He kept saying the Ohio State University, and that's how it became a thing, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I didn't either. But I mean, I know that it's like you don't have to brag when you are the biggest university in the state and the most known university in the state, especially athletically. You don't have to blow your own horn like that. It's like having the number one or two show in the city. You don't have to blow your own horn because people know. No, that's just the way it goes.
And I will read this. I'm not going to read a lot of the other text. The suspects are being mean right now.
Are they to us?
No, to the Blitz. Oh. But they said the Blitz may talk trash about y'all in fun, but they also say a lot of good things about your show.
When?
Again. See, Joel? Again, I tell you, you got to understand it's ball busting. And it doesn't bother me one bit. Because we bust their balls. We bust other people's balls. You got to be able to dish it out and take it. I don't mind it.
Oh my goodness. So with that being said, look at the time. We are going to have a half hour to go in the big show, and that means that there's still time for you to get involved. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us up on Twitter. Don't ask for listener appreciation party tickets because we're out.
We are out.
But we're going to have some fun tonight. And also, if you want to have some fun besides tonight when you're out and about,
make sure you use Get Upside because getting money back is fun. Getting cash back for stuff you're paying for already, that's a lot of fun. And look, I've got listeners sending me screenshots. I wish I would have saved the screenshot from earlier this week where one of the listeners sent me what he's got in his account. But guys, it ranges from anywhere. I've seen, you know, $5 in a couple of days to $400, $150. This is real money that you could be getting if you use the Get Upside app. Here's the beautiful thing. There's no fees. There's no cost involved in getting this money. All you have to do is put their absolutely free app on your phone and then use it to fill up your tank or use it to buy food through the Get Upside app itself. Now, first things first, when you download it, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That'll get you extra cash back on that first fill up, kind of a little boost to seed your account and get you a little extra money in there. And then just start using it and watch the money start to rack up. Watch yourself start to build up that money in your account. Some days you're going to get great, great deals. Some days, if you don't like the deal, hey, just wait. Just find a new area on the map. But make sure you use those purchases and do them through the Get Upside app. These businesses want you to use them. That's why they're there in Get Upside and offer these cashback deals so you don't go other places. You're not going to get this anywhere else. It's only through the Get Upside app. And it's legit and it's real money. Just ask ABC 13. They did a feature on it. So, guys, do yourself a favor right now. Go download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back and thank me later. And do not go anywhere. We're back in 60 seconds. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Thursday. We know our friend out there, Rico Supreme, was trying diligently to try and win tickets to the listener party. And we know that he was unsuccessful, and he kind of blamed himself in certain regards. He has tweeted us this: getting ready with my gloves and grappling hooks to rappel down the side of the building into the listener party. See y'all soon. I hope it works for you, my friend. I really do.
That's funny, yeah. Oh, sorry, Rico. That does suck, man. But
I was wondering, with as much time as certain people listen to our show, if they might be there tonight.
I don't know what that means.
I just wondered if we might see half the A-team. Just throwing it out there, because they are regular listeners.
Are they?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because of certain comments and tweets and things. And
really?
And they know when certain things are said. So,
is there like a lot of passive aggressiveness in their tweets?
Might be.
Apparently, according to this one texter, I'm a stoner and a little bitch, and I should grow some nuts. So, I don't know. That's I got to put that on my to-do list. It's just I'm swamped. I don't have time to grow a pair right now. I will.
Well, if you're Charlie Pillow, you can find him in your cereal.
I will put. Yeah, I will put it on the things to-do list. Sweet, sweet texter.
He's a nut guy in his cereal.
Yeah,
I'm not.
No,
no.
Did you see the story out of Bears camp?
Which one? The kicker that can't kick?
No, or? Kyle Long got ejected from practice after hitting a rookie with his own helmet in a fight. Jason Leiser? I don't know. On Twitter. This is his tweet. Quite a practice for Bears right guard Kyle Long tonight. Got into a scrap with rookie defensive end Jalen Dalton. Took Dalton's helmet and started hitting him with it. Then chucked it down the field. And was pulled from practice. Oh, and then Long barfed a couple times on the sidelines.
Long did? What the?
Not a good start to the season for Kyle Long when you're beating up rookies and beating them with their own helmet. I can't think of many more disrespectful things. It's like the old game that the bullies used to play when they would take your hand and make you punch yourself. And be like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Huh?
I hate to say this.
What?
It wasn't just bullies. My dad used to do that to me.
Yeah, my dad did that to us, too.
Oh, my God. But why are you punching yourself? It was a different day and a different time, but my dad was not afraid to have me haul off and hit me in the face.
Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? I mean, if you're getting beat with your own helmet, that's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, I was going to say, but here's the other thing. It's all fun and games at practice when you say that, you know, it's part of a sport, so it's not, like, legally wrong. But that's going to be where you cross the line. If you're using a full-blown football helmet and beating another individual with it, you may face some kind of legal scrutiny. Because it's one thing when you say, God, what a dumbass. He just punched a guy with a helmet on.
Yeah.
It's another thing to say, hey, there's a guy beating another guy with his helmet.
I mean, it's to me, that's the smart move if you're going to fight, though, in football. It's like hockey. You pull the jersey over their head. That's
sure.
A specific advantage. If you can get a dude's helmet off.
Oh, big time. But if you can't, don't punch him in the head.
Yeah, don't do that. Matt Nagy came out and he was like, it's the competitive nature of guys. Yesterday, that was a little more of a pillow fight. Today, thought it was a little bit. Just like I said, it's disappointing. So apparently things are escalating at Bears camp.
Well, and you know that just with the whole Texans-Packers thing, Bill O'Brien's not going to deal with that. And I think as a league, they probably had internal memos that said, look, with everything that's been going on, everything else, it's a bad look for the entire league. Let's minimize that. And when it happens, nip it in the bud right away.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Hey, did you know that they banned drive-through restaurants in Minnesota and Minneapolis?
Why?
What? There can be no more. Nobody can build drive-throughs, not just restaurants, but any drive-through, like dry cleaners
or CVS.
Yeah.
Did you go to the pharmacy?
No. It's a citywide ban. Any new business that builds
here in
Houston,
a liquor store.
Yeah, you can't. No more drive-throughs because they're worried about the burning of fossil fuels and stuff. They're worried. They want to be self-sustaining and have a clean environment. So,
but time out, because people are going to get ticked off. Because I understand
now you got to get out of the car.
I understand going green, But so many people are trying to do things to save time, and time is of the essence in so many different ways.
Well, the big complaint about this was, what about people in wheelchairs and disabilities and stuff like that? It's easier to go through a drive-thru than to get out and go into the store. But listen to this math, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, this was part of the article that they talked about, and I got this article off of weather.com. But they said that if you just take McDonald's.
You just pissed Steven Uzak off.
I know. Just McDonald's. Listen to this. This is crazy. And assume that they said there's 70 million people that get served, right, a day. Assume that that's 50 million of those are in cars, and they spend 3 minutes in the drive-thru idling, okay? You got 50 million cars, each spending 3 minutes drive-thru. Divide that into hours. That's 2.5 million hours of idle time during a day. And if you idle for an hour, that's 0.7 gallons of gas that gets burned. You follow me so far?
I think so.
1.75 million gallons of gas is burned every hour of every day at McDonald's nationwide. 1.75 million. Do the numbers. Every year, almost 640 million gallons of gas gets wasted sitting in line at a drive-thru. That's just at McDonald's. But that's a lot of waste. And then they talked about how many pounds of CO2 per hour go into our atmosphere because of McDonald's.
Sure, sure.
Not any other restaurant, not any other drive-thru, 35 million pounds of CO2 per hour just because of McDonald's nationwide.
That says a whole lot about our society.
It really does. So when you start to hear those kind of numbers, you're like, damn, now I kind of get it.
From environmental purposes to eating habits to just there's a bunch there.
But so, yeah, apparently that's going forward, Chick-fil-A, any of these restaurants that are going to be opening in Minneapolis, no drive-thrus.
Now, you think this is going to be a trend? You think that other states are going to jump on board?
I could see California getting on this real quick.
That's a pretty good call.
Now, I don't know specifically like if L.A. would do it because financially there's probably a lot of people that will stay in the pocket.
Plus, there's a layer of smog that will deflect a lot of the CO2 from getting up into the environment. It'll keep it down low.
Where it just kills the people, the environment.
They're not going to kill the environment.
What was fascinating to me is the fact that no more drive-thrus, period. The only time I've ever heard of anything like that was in Fort Worth. And some of the surrounding areas, like if you would call it like Bel Air, right? The Bel Airs of Fort Worth.
Surrounding suburbs.
Yeah, or little small independent cities, mm-hmm. I guess, or towns.
Outlying communities.
Yeah. They'll have a limit on how many fast food restaurants can be built in there. Like there's Keller.
Is that the reason behind it?
Assume that like Keller is a Bel Air, right? Okay. Keller will say, no, there's 9 fast food restaurants. You either one has to close and you can buy that building, but we're not permitting any more fast food restaurants in our
And is that for the environment?
No, that's for aesthetics and everything else. That's traffic and all the other things.
That makes sense to me.
That's the only time I've ever heard of anything like that.
Do you think that this then accelerates the drone program like Amazon and others have experimented with? Well, if we can't wait in the drive-through line to get our fast food, then your drone ass is going to fly it to me.
No, but what I think happens now is businesses like Uber Eats and DoorDash. Those skyrocket because those folks don't go through the drive-thru. They pull up, they go inside, they get your food, and then they drive it to you.
Hopefully they turn their engine off when they probably go to deliver it.
But yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, there's a lot of different businesses, for as much as they will be suffering because of no drive-thru, there's a lot of technology and other things like drones, like Uber, and like you just mentioned.
Uber Eats and DoorDash.
Yeah, they're going to capitalize.
You know, it's one of those things, and I, you guys are way more college educated than me, but I do remember in an economics class, they talk about the invisible hand of Adam Smith in economics, and where people will sometimes say, oh, well, technology is going to ruin jobs because if you start having robots automate things,
there's less
jobs for people. But you got to think about those robots have to be created. They have to be serviced and maintained mm-hmm. and programmed. And also you're creating a different set of jobs. So maybe in this case, you're eliminating some stuff, but you're opening up avenues for new things.
I see that. With the drive-thru. I can see that. Yeah. But I mean, I just think from a convenience standpoint, there's got to be so many people that are going to be upset because of the fact that, look, especially moms that are like rushing kids from school to practice and then they got to get home. So you stop at run through the drive-thru real quick so the kids are eating on their way home to save time. That's where you may be saving the environment, but you're losing a whole hell of a lot of time.
Yeah.
And people are going to get pissed off about it.
Yeah, like a gang of kids. You got 10 kids in the car or whatever.
I wouldn't call it a gang of kids these days, Barry. I would say, you know, a group of kids,
a gaggle,
bunch of friends,
a gaggle.
Sure.
Yeah, a gaggle. Somebody said, I spend 40 minutes at the elementary school line waiting to pick up my kid.
That's another good one.
That's a lot of wasted gas.
We joke about the parental pickup line and listening to us, but that's a fact. The parental pickup lines are no joke. Out by me, in the elementary schools and the middle schools, that line, right here, right by the studio, this school right here, literally, it'll be 50 cars. It'll start at the front of the school. It'll go all the way back, backing up to the corner and then around the corner. And they have to literally put a cone line just for the inside lane so that the 50 cars can wait to pick up their kids.
That's crazy. I think we need to follow what, sorry, we need to follow what Minnesota does in Minneapolis and maybe just ban kids.
Or school, right?
Both. Yeah, I'm good.
Everybody's homeschooled.
No, just no kids. I think it was just from this point forward, well, no more kids. We'll eliminate. You know how much CO2 we would save?
I'm not paying the price for the fact that I already have one and a half.
Not only is it just idling in the pickup line, kids fart. That creates more CO2. There's a lot of reasons to ban kids.
Not only that, though, man, like, it's surprising to me that it is that long only because I can't tell you how many kids are, like, still at the school long before it's over because their parents haven't picked them up yet. Like, a part of the reason why it's so long, parents are like, man, I'm not waiting in that line. I'm just going to wait 3 hours, 4 hours after the fact, make my kid wait there. There's literally a room full of kids that are not picked up,
I feel like, at every school. They look for after-school programs. They look for things where their kids can stay in the school longer. And like I've told you guys, whether it be at, like, these urban airs and bounce houses and all those different things, parents sometimes, they have no filter. They just decide, I'm going to drop my kid off at Urban Air, and I'll pick you up in 2 hours. So make yourself useful and have fun.
Hoodat said, hey, you guys have a great party. Y'all are awesome. Sorry, we're going to miss you, Hoodat. I feel bad for the folks that couldn't get
it. I really do, too.
It sucks.
Yeah, I feel bad that there were a lot of people that should be there. Rico, you included, but there's a lot of suspects that have been loyal since the get-go. That,
and listeners, not just to our show, but the bench and the Blitz and Palillo. And
you felt that we kid about it, but you felt the passion that listening to all the shows on the air where people had a desperation of, I got to try and win those tickets. I really would love to be there. And that makes us all feel good.
Absolutely.
And just so y'all know, we did go over what we planned on doing. Like, a lot of guys were allotted a certain amount of listeners that they could bring to the party, and we broke that. We shattered that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hopefully they don't shatter the air conditioning. And then I was the other thinking, they probably should have tipped the janitorial staff a couple extra $20 bills.
I would agree with that because it was nasty
last year. The bathroom got ugly.
Oh, man.
And we talk about how bad it can be just during work time.
I'll leave. Go and come back.
Just see if Esme's got a key to one of the other floors.
Ooh.
That's a big one.
Or use the one in the building that's under construction. No one's
Just go poop in AJ's office. If I got to pee or poop, I'll just do it in AJ's office.
You just let me know. We'll time it right once an hour. I'll be next. All right, one segment to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always appreciate you guys. FEF Friday tomorrow. We'll have a comedian of the week.
You're damn right we will.
We're going to have Sarah Barshop on, who is beat writer for the ESPN, so covering the Texans. So we'll have some insight from her on Clowney and other things, Duke Johnson and otherwise. And, of course, thanks to our friends at Twin Peaks, we will have Cody Stutz on as well, as he has been covering all of training camp. So we'll get his insights on everything going on with your favorite football team as they get ready for the Lions on Saturday night. Also, a shout out to Seaforth Water as they supply us with magical Chuck Norris water here in the studio.
Brewed at the source.
From under the ground the Chuck Norris Ranch.
That's right. Lone Wolf Spring. I just got that on my laptop. No.
Oh.
Let's not. Let's not how.
No.
I got bad news for Nick.
I got bad news if you keep pulling your
What's
shirt
that?
Up like that.
Don't look at my gut.
What are you doing? Pulling your shirt up. Come on, man.
I'm going to show you my belly button.
No, Jesus.
If you do that.
Thank God you said belly button because I don't know what you're
doing. If I show you my belly button, we go together. Just so you know. And once you see it, we go together.
Well, then.
As long as it doesn't look like Warner's.
Get ready to show Nick.
It's not as hairy. And no, it doesn't look like a baby's penis. No, it's an innie. But it's just an innie because I'm fat. It's one of those weird innie outie ones. But because I have fat, that is just, it became an innie. I digress. Your girl Katy Perry is up on sexual assault charges.
No way.
Yes, I read this.
Really?
Yeah.
So when she was shooting Teenage Dream, the guy that was in the video, Josh Kloss, said that at one point they were out in, they were, there was a bunch of people around, and he walked up and they were talking, and he said that at some point she pulled his, he was wearing sweatpants and they were in a group of people talking, and she just goes, well, look at his penis, and pulled his pants out and down and exposed his genitals to the group and thought it was funny. And he said that the problem was that he had a crush on her, and so she felt, I guess, that it was okay to do that. So she's up on sexual assault charges now because of that.
And is it because someone, like, the police got involved, or he complained?
So he hadn't complained, and he said that he waited till the statute of limitations ran out for him to make money off of this or sue her for this, because he wanted to show that he wanted no financial gain from it, but that she shouldn't be treating people this way, because of the fact that he had highlighted there was like all these different rules laid out and people constantly giving him advice, because when the video came out and it was popular, they were like, don't say this, you can't talk about this, you need to sign a release on that, don't ever mention Katy this or that. So they watched him like a hawk, and his point being that she didn't, no one was watching her, and that she just went and exposed his junk.
And he also said that, you know, basically we hear about men doing this all the time, that they say, you know, men are guilty of this. Men in power.
Grabbing them in the pee?
Yeah. Well, just in general, men in power are guilty of this. But you know what? It's maybe don't just limit this to gender. Just people in power will use their power.
I said grabbing them because that's the Trump thing.
Right.
With Billy, whatever that guy's
name was. Speaking of that, so your girl... probably
shocked, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've seen her tactics on stage. Like, she gets really, like, sexual with, like, the dancers.
And she's a good Christian girl. Like, well, that came from a real Christian background.
So this was on, what, a lot of this happened when I guess she was on break or breaking up with Orlando Bloom.
No.
Or one of whoever her boyfriend was at the time.
Yeah.
So then they
Russell
were singing,
Brand.
So
yeah,
then
it was Russell
they were
Brand.
Singing Christian songs together, and yeah. That's how they got to be closer.
Yeah.
Was this dancer from the video and her. And so he felt like she was that Christian girl.
Right. And she's not. She's got whole tendencies. What they say, you can't make a whole housewife?
I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes that's backfires.
I'm not sure that's Katy Perry's goal, though.
No.
To be a housewife.
No.
Nope.
Speaking of that, though, are you familiar with comedian Andy Dick?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So he got cold cocked. If I'm using their words, not mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Verbatim?
David Hale cold cocked Andy Dick in retaliation for groping him. After a show.
Dick did?
Yeah. David Hale is saying that Andy Dick grabbed his genitals, so he cold cocked him. Just knocked him out. And they show in the video, Dick just went limp immediately.
I'm about to watch it.
When
right
he
now.
Got hit. What?
What? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
When you see him, just immediately.
Anything else?
Yeah, he couldn't get up.
Oh
yeah, it took him a while to be, you know, standing upright, erect, and everything again. It was about 15 minutes, and usually it'll take that long, you know.
Well,
to get it back,
you could have some help.
Oh my God,
someone could
he
have
leveled
helped.
Him.
Yeah,
and just picked up his beer and just walked off.
I believe the term cold cocked was pretty accurate.
That was accurate,
yeah.
For sure.
He cold cocked Dick right there on the sidewalk.
Wow, man. He's not in on this. So far. And then so wait a minute.
But I would do the same.
I'm looking at the video. That's why. I'm just shocked.
I know, but he's been.
Listen, if I grabbed some dude's genitals after a show, I expect to get punched.
Well, you should.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm 1,000% in favor of punching a guy that grabs my junk. 1,000% in favor of that. And if you get knocked out, you got what you deserve.
And not punch the guy who told the people that it would be the right thing to do.
Now,
who would ever do that?
Dick's representatives. What?
Keep nothing.
Proceed.
They said, we thought he was dead. Like I said, he just went limp. And they thought he was dead. What?
Him or the Dick? Which guy?
Andy Dick.
Oh.
When he got knocked out. But then they said that now that Hell's story really is not... Huh?
What are you doing with your hands over there?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable right now because I'm trying to describe this. But they said he stole...
That's a dirty dick, though, if you're going to do something like that. Telling you.
They said that Hell has had different stories that he can't keep his story straight. That was their words, not mine, also.
Who wrote this? The New York Times?
Fox News.
Okay. All right.
Believe it or not, I got this from Fox News. So, yeah.
You got a moral to the story?
No. Yeah, don't grab people's junk. Don't be Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't be an Andy Dick.
Well done, sir.
Okay.
Well done.
All right.
That's a great way to wrap up this show. So,
see y'all at the party.
Yeah.
Just grab Joel's junk and it'll be fine.
I promise you,
he won't Andy Dick you.
Because like you said, and we talked about, if you just want to wind up and punch you in the...
This was for you, not me.
No, because you just told people to grab mine. Last word. They can punch yours. Speed bag it. All right. We'll take you till tomorrow. We'll be back on the air with all kinds of hopefully fun anecdotes and stories from the listener appreciation party. But you're not done yet because Fred, Aaron, AJ, they're coming in next. They're going to entertain you all the way till 7 o'clock. They're going to get food before they get out of here because they should before all you people start getting in here for the grub. But the Blitz is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.